So we're in the middle of a discussion here regarding, I mean, it's not much of a discussion, it's just one side talking, you're listening. But this is the third week we've talked about hearing God speak. I lived a long time in my life not knowing that He spoke back to people. For some reason, I never caught that part of it. I thought it was just people speak up to heaven and then silence comes back and you live your life however you want to. I knew deep down that you don't live however you want to, but I also didn't know that God ever spoke to people. So that was news to me. It's not news to most of you, or maybe it is, but you need to recognize He does speak back from heaven. Now, if the Almighty Creator of the whole universe speaks back from heaven to people, all of a sudden, that to me seems more special than any new bicycle. That seems like it would be pretty much greater than every other thing in life. For the Almighty Creator of everything, my Heavenly Father, to talk to me, it's kind of worth everything to me. Like, I'll give up my whole life for that. Wouldn't the one who knows everything, the biggest lover of people in all the universe, if He wants to talk to me, I ought to pull up a chair. All right, so that's just to establish how valuable He and His voice is compared to the issues of this world. We all want to solve the issues of the world. We all want to triumph over the world and overcome the world, but you can't do it without the voice of God. Matter of fact, your success in this life is determined by your intimate relationship with God. Intimate relationship is not just you doing all the talking. That means you're a control freak. Intimate relationship means you're able to talk and listen back. So anyway, we're talking about hearing God speak. As I review, we've talked about valuing God's voice. We've talked about being confident enough to approach God and expect a conversation. And that can't be done with a guilty conscience. We talked about the blood of Jesus cleanses your conscience so that you can approach. That He, if you confess your sins, will cleanse you of unrighteousness so that you can approach the Father. That's very important. And then to be scriptural in hearing from God, talking to God, doing it the way that He expects. There is a right and a wrong way to pray, you know. One time I preached a whole message on that, and the next week a father came and told me, he said, you know, my son, we were driving in the car, and he didn't really appreciate what you said. My son, he's like 12 years old, or 10, I think he was 10 years old. He said, you know, Dad, he said that there was a wrong way to pray. He said, but there's no wrong way to pray. You can talk to God any way you want to. Well, I appreciate his thoughtfulness. And in a sense, he's correct. Just talk to God. Yes, you believe in God, talk to God. But as you walk with Him, there's a better way to talk to Him. It's kind of like you can say anything you want to your spouse, but you'd be smarter if you'd find out how to talk well to your spouse. So as we learn, see, listen, as we read the Bible, we learn who God is, how He is, what to say when, how better to approach the Father, how to have faith. We learn so much about Him, then we can talk better to Him. So yes, in essence, prayer is about you expressing your heart, and it's a relationship thing, so you can kind of say anything. You can be casual with God sometimes, and you can just express what's in your heart. There's no formal legal way to talk to God. But on the other hand, hey, let's learn some things about Him so we honor Him better when we talk, so that we come in faith without doubts and weird stuff that we're trying to get out of our life anyway. So in any case, hearing back from God is important. And we've already talked about the unction, the anointing, the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's the key to this whole thing. To hear from God, you're going to have to know the Holy Spirit. Right. To hear from God, you're going to have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit inside you. The Holy Spirit in you is not just a word that people use when they baptize. The Holy Spirit is not just the third person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit he's actually your partner in life. And if you're going to work with a partner, you better figure them out. If you're going to work with a partner, you better know what they know and sense what they sense and be with them through life, or they're not really a partner. So Holy Spirit, he kind of gets left in the back closet sometimes, not only in church. Like, people take anything in church except that Holy Spirit stuff. Can we wait till after church to have Holy Spirit things happen, like till I get out of here? But some Christians do that in their life. Like, we love the thought of the Holy Spirit, but when it comes down to, is he the guide of my life? I don't even know, is he? Is he guiding me? I don't know. Well, that's why we're here today. We're going to talk about how the Spirit guides us, how he speaks to us. And so we've already established the unction, the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. You have one. You have an, if you're a Christian, if you've received Jesus, you have an inner witness in your spirit of the Holy Spirit. Like, he's in there and he's nudging you, saying, yep, I'm your buddy. Yep, I'm your comforter. Yep, I'm God. Yep, I'm your brother. Yep, I'm leading you. Yep, I'm teaching you. Yep, I'm guiding you into all truth. Everything's okay. Yep, I've cleansed your conscience. Yep, I've got you. Yep, here we go. Let's go have a wonderful day full of joy and peace. Now, that's what he's doing in there on a daily basis. But if you're too dull in spirit to know that, catch that, sense that, receive that, you're going to be a sadder Christian, a madder Christian, a loster Christian, a less successful Christian. You'll be more worldly. You won't be what God's created you to be. You need the Holy Spirit. And then you won't make right decisions. You'll miss God's will. You'll be more confused. It just won't be a great Christian life. You're going to have to pull back enough to value God's voice enough to spend some time with God through the Holy Spirit and the Word, so that you can come out of that moment with him, whether it's 15 minutes or an hour, feeling refreshed, at peace, content, confident, strong, strengthened with all might by his Spirit in the inner man. You're going to have to learn some of these difficult terms. You're going to have to learn some spiritual terms if you're going to succeed with the Holy Spirit. Look, if you believe in Jesus and have been saved, got dunked in water, affirm Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of your soul, you'll be in heaven. But for earth life, you need to get closer to the Holy Spirit. That's why Benny Hinn wrote the book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 2 here. Verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Just recognize that God's presenting natural life versus spiritual life. The natural man doesn't get it. There will be people who believe in God in your life that you try to talk about things, they won't get it. They'll be contrary, they'll resist, they just won't enjoy anything that you're enjoying because they're natural. This requires some spiritual discernment, not so you can be weird, but so that you can understand what you can't see. Verse 15, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So just recognize God's expecting us to have the mind of Christ. Technically, you have it. It's time to yield to it. It's time to think like Jesus. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. So here Paul is talking to a group, writing a letter to a group, and he's saying, hey, look, I would prefer to speak to you as spiritual people, but you're so carnal, I'm going to have to treat you like a baby. How many of you would like the preacher to say that to you? And then his example was, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, because for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able. Like, we're trying to help you grow up in Christ, but you're such a baby. Goes over real big. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I'm of Paul, and another says, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who is Paul and who is Apollos but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Stop there. He goes on to explain, hey, look, we're not supposed to be divided. We're not really supposed to have all these different segments of Christianity. Now, we do, and we have to live with it, but that's not the plan. So we don't want banner waving of who you follow. Even though we love our church and we love our people and we love our preachers, we don't have to raise the banner so high to denote, well, this is who I follow, and this is who I follow, and this is who I follow. Look, all the ministers are trying to help us follow Jesus. Some are doing it better than others, and I get that, and we want to promote and help the right stuff happen in church. But if in your soul you're too football team waving, football team excited about church and people, that's just his example. There's a whole bunch of ways that people could be carnal. He said envy and strife, divisions. That makes you carnal. So as a Christian, as a spiritual Christian, you can't have envy and strife in you ever. All right? You start finding some of those things in your soul, oh man, you're just a flesh person. You're too fleshy, okay? You're gonna have to get over yourself. You have to get spiritual. So we're trying to be spiritual. So there's a spiritual and there's a natural or a carnal. We wanna be spiritual. You with me? All right, so why do we want to hear from God? Well, you need leading in life. You need blessing in life. You know, sometimes there's a blessing right around the corner. You need to hear from God to go right around the corner. Your blessing requires you to hear from the Holy Spirit. Blessings are not accidental or automatic every time. We want them to fall from heaven. They don't. They're around the corner, and you have to listen to Him to get there. So many people have so many blessings that they haven't received yet because they just refuse. They're too dull of hearing the Holy Spirit and they won't obey. Right. And when I say obey, I'm talking about obey the leading. You need to hear from God to know His will for your life in a big sense, for your life tomorrow, for your life next week, for little decisions you make throughout the week, or for big ones you make throughout the year. Right. You need to hear from God for divine protection. You know, we believe in Psalm 91, don't we? We actually believe in Luke 10:19. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. We have authority over everything evil that could possibly occur. We have promises from Psalm 91 that He'll give us long life and satisfy us. That we have angels that keep us lest we dash our foot against a stone. That He's my rock and my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. We have some mighty promises that are wonderful. But to receive all of those promises on a daily basis for the rest of your life, you're going to have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, because sometimes the way He protects you is He says, don't go there. Don't do that. No. And if you're not sensitive enough to hear the Holy Spirit warn you, or if you're going to ignore Him, if your conscience is too dull to hear, if you're too consumed and full of so many other things, you won't hear His voice. It's a little quieter than the television. And then you're going to wonder, well, why did He let... Listen, one reason bad things happen to good people is because they're ignoring the voice of God. We have a book called God Why, and it answers the question, why do bad things happen to good people? And there are five reasons. Five reasons why bad things happen to good people. And none of those reasons are because God wanted them to happen to you or because he caused them to happen to you. None of those reasons are because God had a divine reason to allow this to happen in your life so that you could become a better person. No, bad things don't come from God. They're not planned by God. They're not orchestrated by God. He doesn't want them to ever happen to you. He does know bad things might be coming, and what he's trying to do is steer you away from those things. Just because it happened didn't mean it was God's will. Tons of bad stuff happens that aren't God's will. How come he lets it happen? Because of sin, because of the devil. There's five categorical reasons why bad things happen. The final reason is because people simply ignore the voice of God. Or they have no idea what the voice of God would sound like. But not us. We're learning how God speaks. We're learning to hear the voice of God. So today I want to speak on how your spirit man can get in tune. Or we can say it this way, how to train the human spirit. We are made of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit man is the real you. It's the real you. It's the one made in the image of God. It's the spirit of man is the one that is born again, awakened to the reality of the kingdom and the Father. But the spirit is attached to the soul, which is also the spirit and the soul are eternal. The soul is the mind, the will, and emotions that we have. Our personality is part of our soul. The Bible says that our soul must be renewed, that our mind must be renewed to the Word of God. You get born again, your spirit's happy and healthy. Your soul is still the same old dumb you. You have to learn the Bible to get smarter. You have to get your brain washed by the Word. Not washed by some weirdo, but washed by the Word of God. It's the washing of the water by the Word of God that we need for our soul to get figured out. You need a rewiring. Like before you were saved, it was like a bad electrician wired your brain. You need to get to the Word of God and get cleaned up and get a real professional electrician to fix you. All right, so that's what we're all doing. That's why we spend so much time learning and enjoying church together and listening and reading the Bible. It's to get our mind fixed so that our spirit gets stronger and can control our mind. So the mind and the spirit and then the body, you live in a body. Your body is just your old body. That old body is going to have to go back to the dust, and then one day it'll get glorified when Jesus comes back and transformed into an eternal body, and it won't have any sin, it won't have any temptation in it, it'll be wonderful, all right? But right now we live in a body, and so we have to control the mind and the body with our spirit, all right? So in the spirit is where God speaks. It's not in the ears. You know, Jesus said, he that has, said this several times, he'd tell a parable and he'd say, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Like I've just told you something spiritual, hey, if you can hear it, hear it. Or we could say it this way, if you're open to God, you'll hear this. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Right. Somebody says, well, I got ears, I can hear. Apparently not, because that's not what he's talking about. Hearing is done with your spirit man. Hearing is done with your spirit man. What does that mean? It means you better study some things, practice some things. So here's how we train the human spirit to be a follower of God's spirit. Number one, or we can say it this way, get your spirit man healthy. We've taught on that some. Number one, you need to meditate on the Word of God. You're going to have to meditate on God's Word in order to train your spirit. Being a spiritual person doesn't mean you're flying around, you know, chasing invisible butterflies and trying to describe to everybody what you're seeing. No, being a spiritual person means that you're in tune with God's Word. Because if you can't get in tune with God's Word, then you won't be in tune with His Spirit, who speaks only what the Word says. Amen. Who follows the principles of the Word only, never says anything contrary to the Word of God. So if you want your spirit to start getting developed and trained, you're going to have to be a Word person. Joshua said that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it therein, day and night, that you may observe according to all that's written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So Joshua was saying you need to meditate in the word. And that word meditate is not some Eastern meditation. That's weird meditation. Listen, Eastern meditation tells you to blank your mind. That's dangerous. You start trying to blank your mind and the devil can come in. Jesus said, if the house is empty, look out. God's meditation is you fill up with the word. So when we meditate on the word of God, we're filling up on his word. We're letting his word enter our mind. So meditate means also to mutter. Mutter. So when you meditate, you're not just thinking, you're also saying. That's why we make you say scripture out loud together, right? What are we doing? We're showing you how to mutter. We're showing you how to confess together. We're showing you how to say what you're believing. And so meditate would be to consume and say and think about it. The Lord is my shepherd. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He will help me. I don't have to be afraid. That's how you meditate on the word of God. You don't just think it. You don't just learn it like a school book. It's living, so you got to mutter on it. You got to meditate on it, mutter it, think about it. Number one, meditate on the word. Number two, you got to practice the word. You got to practice the word. What do you mean practice the word? I mean do the word. You got to do the word. James said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So learners who don't do are deceived. Christians who know a whole bunch and do very little are deceived. Then he goes on to say, you know, because some people will read the Bible and then disappear from it and forget what manner of man they were. But only by looking into the perfect law of liberty can you stay free. So you got to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. Matthew 7, Jesus compared the wise man to the foolish man. The wise man built his house upon a rock, and the storm came and the floods came and the winds beat on that place. And it was solid because he had built his house on a rock. But the foolish man built his house on the sand. And then he says, the wise man is the one who hears my sayings and does them. The foolish man is the one who hears and doesn't do. So just hearing is not enough for you. Just knowing is not enough. You're going to have to do. You're going to have to practice the word. That means if it says love your enemies, start practicing. Yeah. If it says to forgive everybody, start forgiving. If it says give and it shall be given, start giving. If it says serve, because that's what Jesus came for and that's what we're called to, start serving. You better be at that table. You better be out there. I don't know if I can, I don't know. You better go do it. Well, you know, I don't know. I got on my schedule, my calendar. I don't know. That's a big commitment. Okay, fine. Just be a hearer. I didn't plan that. It's not in my notes. It just seemed to fit really well. Come on, listen. As Christians, look, I only like to preach what I've done, what I've proven, and that's how I grew. That's how I became a mature Christian, is I read it, and I thought, this is from God, I will do it. And if I didn't, then it bothered me. If you don't, it's supposed to bother you. And if not, we're locking you in the closet until you get right with God. No, I'm just kidding. You ought to lock yourself in the closet. If you're reading stuff that you're not doing all the time, you better lock yourself in the closet. I guess that's not a great example, but what I mean is get with God. And get it fixed, and you fast and pray until you can drive out that stupidity. oh no, we're gonna build this wonderful, wonderful mansion right there on the front of the beach. We're not even gonna put any pilings up. We're just gonna build right there because it's low tide and we'll just build right there. You idiot. That's the person that hears and doesn't do, doesn't plan on, doesn't care to do, is not convicted about doing or not. Come on, we're real Christians around here. I don't know if you recognize it, but we're expecting that we're growing up real Christians. We're developing real Christians. We're not playing games. We don't have time to play games. I don't think anybody here really feels like we should be playing games. I mean, unless it's for a select time in the kids department or before church in the youth department. You can play in the bowling alley. Okay, we can play. Don't get me wrong. Our motto is work hard and play hard. Build the church hard and play hard. Yes. Praise the Lord. We read a scripture on Wednesday about those who use only milk are unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he's a babe. That strong meat belongs to those who are of full age. So we don't want to remain baby Christians by simply learning and not doing. So start doing. Hallelujah. We have a lot of talkers about the word. What about a lot of doers of the word? A lot of people can talk the word and quote the word and repost the word and come up with a cuter way to say the word. Did we have any doers of the word? And here's how far this goes. Sure, there's obedience and staying out of sin, stuff like that. But then you get over into other things like, you know, Ephesians 4:6 says to be anxious for nothing, but by everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the God of peace will, you know, the rest. So everybody prays about everything. Well, maybe you don't. Most people pray about a lot of things. But are you doing the word? Because the word says don't be anxious about anything. Be careful for nothing. Do not have any anxiety about anything. So if you're just praying a whole bunch and just rehearsing all your worries, you're not doing the word. Because that scripture actually says be anxious for nothing. So are you anxious for anything right now? Everybody close your eyes and say it out loud. So I am anxious for nothing. I'm stressed out about nothing. Now nudge your spouse if you have one. Nudge your other neighbor if you don't have one. And just say, hey, I'm not worried about anything. Woo, I'm so free from anxiety. I'm free from anxiety. Not worried about today or tomorrow. Not worried about my family or my kids. Not worried about my grandkids. I'm anxious for nothing. I'm a doer. All right, now what we just did right there was not lie. It was by faith say what we believe. That's how you act upon the word. That's how you initiate and trigger the power that's in the word. You simply say what the Bible says. You said be anxious for nothing. Okay, therefore I'm anxious for nothing. Am I anxious still? I am. I'm anxious for nothing. Am I still anxious? A little bit. I'm anxious for nothing. I'm anxious for nothing. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not worried about anything. That settles it. That's faith. Okay, so that's how faith people believe the Bible enough to do it. And doing starts with saying. All right, so that's a whole other door we could go through, but I wanted you to see it. All right, turn with me to let me give you a couple examples here. I think God has been speaking to Christians everywhere about getting planted in a good local church somewhere. Wouldn't you think that he's probably telling every Christian, desires every Christian to be planted somewhere? And if you don't believe that and don't really care, well, maybe you need some scripture. And so all Christians need to go find some scripture regarding life questions, will of God for their life, and fill up on it, and then obey and do it. So you need a few scriptures on finding a good local church and getting planted. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. find one that says, Jesus, we're all members one of another. Members in particular, and God has set each one of us exactly where he wants us in the body of Christ. Find some scriptures and then go do those scriptures. What happens is people sometimes try to live their life on their own terms. And this is where we almost disqualify ourselves from hearing God. When we're doing it all on our own terms, we want God to say this about our life. And so that's all we're looking for. We get into tough stuff out there, and it's like, God, I need some help. Where's my help? Please talk to me, lead me, guide me, tell me. And God, and the Holy Spirit is like, I told you to go to church somewhere. I told you it's time to go to church. I told you it's time to go plant. I told you it's time to commit at church. I told you it's time to commit. Oh, Lord, I need help with all the things in my life. And he's like, yeah, I told you to go to church. It just seems like God is not always going to answer you on your own terms. He does this thing where he requires the first step before he can give us the second step. It's like he told Paul, go to the city and it'll be told to you what you must do. Paul had to obey the first part. Same thing with Cornelius. He said, hey, I want you to go here because Peter's going to talk to you. He had to obey before Peter got the message to him. It just seems like God does that. He makes us obey the first insignificant sounding thing so that he can do the rest for you. I remember a story from Oral Roberts said this. Anybody know who Oral Roberts was? Yes. We'll talk about him more later on because Richard Roberts is going to come preach here, okay, which is his son. So Oral Roberts is extremely famous in the Spirit-filled church because he was really the forerunner for tent healing evangelistic crusades, okay? Phenomenal things happen, very radical and lots of stuff happened, controversy, but he was doing the will of God and doing the works of God back in the 50s when a lot of people ended up buying tents and traveling around the United States and even other countries. But the healing revival was from 1948 to 1957 or so, or somewhere in there, 47 to 58. And it had a lot of stories that we tell and a lot of magnificent things. There's even video footage you can see. But Oral Roberts said this, that he wasn't doing that. He wasn't traveling like that or doing healing meetings. And the Lord told him, one day he was in his house and the Lord said, get in your car. He heard that, so he got in his car. The Lord said, now drive out and take a right. He drove out, now take a left. Now take another right. Now go straight. Now turn left. And as he obeyed that, he got to the next instruction and he said, now I want you to go buy a huge tent and travel the United States having healing crusades. What? What's with all the car direction stuff? Well, obedience is necessary for you to get to the instruction. You got to obey God in the things you know or the minor things before you get the big thing. That's a little different than Christians sitting around dreaming up how they could become some great one. And you got to be careful of that. Hearing God speak is not to self-inflate you. Amen. To figure out how important you are in this world. Well, what's my place? Well, cut that question out. What am I called to do? Well, right now you're called to just learn the Bible, it looks like. You're a little too self-centered is what you are. How about a different question like, who can I help today? How could I help today? Don't be too self-centered even in seeking the will of God. What am I called to do? Don't do it that way. And then what happens, and I've heard this. Look, I've been a Christian a long time. I've heard lots of people say lots of things. I've heard a ton of people say a ton of things. And I've even picked up on some of the mistakes. I remember some mistakes that I heard people say. Oh, God told me I'm going to win millions to the Lord. You don't sound like much of a soul winner. You sound like a hoarder. You sound like a goat. Anyway, all right. But you do have to get in tune with the Lord. So practicing these things, meditating on the scripture, practicing the word, giving the word first place. Like instantly, Like, what's first? The first question you should be asking about a spouse is, what does the Bible say? The first question you should be asking about spiritual matter, what does the Bible say? The first question about your money should not be to a financial advisor. The first question about everything should be the Word. You got to give the Word first place, and I would say last place, and then I would say everything in between. But first, you got to give the Word first place. Like, don't dream up something without going to the Word first. There could have been a lot of marriages avoided if they would have gone to the Word first and not tried to talk God into the one they fell in love with. Listen, you can fall in love with anybody. Your flesh and mind can fall in love with anybody. But what about your spirit? Your flesh and mind can fall in love with anybody, and then, of course, it's the will of God. Oh, I feel it, I feel it, I feel it. You ain't feeling the will of God. You're feeling the same old thing that everybody else out in the world feels. That's no mystery. Oh, I just know it is. Well, your knowing ain't coming from your spirit. No, the Word of God talks about and explains how we don't really supposed to have any fellowship with unbelievers. If the person isn't a believer, you can't really fellowship with them. You can't even go to the first date. Well, I'm going to go see if this is the right one, and I'm going to spend the rest of my year talking God into it. Well, that's garbage. That's a person that's never going to be led by the Spirit of God in a proper way. Praise the Lord. All right. Got involved in people's personal lives and everything. And so you do need to, okay. And so then the final point about developing the human spirit, developing your own spirit, is you're going to have to instantly obey the voice of your spirit. When you do detect your spirit has said something, you're going to have to instantly obey the voice of your spirit. Now, the reason I say it that way is because your spirit man has a voice. It's called your conscience. The conscience is the voice of the human spirit. And it's floating things up to you all the time. You know things. Like, you know what's right and wrong right now because your conscience is alerting you. Remember when they brought the adulteress to Jesus and he said, let him who has without sin cast the first stone? And it said, and they all departed being convicted by their own conscience. It's your own conscience, really, that does the convicting of you. Now, he's with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's united with your spirit. So we could say it's the Holy Spirit convicting me, but technically it's really your spirit picking up on what the Holy Spirit's saying. The Holy Spirit has been given to the world to convict the world of sin. But once you're saved, he's with you. So it's your spirit picking up on what's right and wrong. A little different. But the way that God speaks to us primarily is through the inward witness, which we've discussed, which is your spirit knowing what's right, knowing what God wants, knowing truth, having revelation, the light shining. Most of God leading or speaking to you is going to be done by you knowing in your spirit what's right. Okay? And that's why we determined last time that you know. What are you supposed to do? You know. What are you supposed to do right now? You know. How are you supposed to be right now? You know. Instantly obey that. Oh, man, if you can do that, you'll be a mature Christian. Right. You follow me? Then the second way would be maybe the voice of your spirit giving you a sentence or a word that it picked up from the Holy Spirit. Now, we say the Holy Spirit said, but it's really the voice of your spirit that can also speak to you. So you'll hear words or sentences. That'd be the second way. And then we could say it's the Holy Spirit speaking. It might be a little more authoritative when the Holy Spirit speaks. And then we could add another one in there, the audible voice of God, which would be either the Father or the Holy Spirit speaking in a voice that your ears could hear, which is very seldom for most people, and or never for most people, very seldom for anybody. And when it does happen audibly, it's usually because you're in trouble. You're either in danger or you're in disobedience, and he is not happy. And I would say it this way, God is really not happy if he has to speak to you audibly. Why? Because he gave you his precious, wonderful Holy Spirit. Don't you dare blaspheme his precious, Holy Spirit. There's got to be something very special there because he made note that the Holy Spirit is the one you can't defame. We got to get to know the Holy Spirit here. And so when you do sense, you have to jump. You have to say yes. Follow me? So when I was early in the kingdom of God, less than a year really, I began to detect that I was supposed to leave my career and go into the ministry full time. I didn't know what that was. I knew nothing about how churches go. I just knew that I had something in me from God that I had to teach and preach. I just knew that I had to be faithful. I couldn't get away from it, so I acknowledged it. Between me and God, I knew that I had a future that was going to have to leave my career and go into full-time ministry. So I went up to Bible school for a camp meeting. And while I was there, my plan, it was in the summer, my plan was to sign up for Bible school in the fall and leave my job in the meantime. And I go to the Bible school, and I see the table, the information table for the Rhema Bible Training Center, and I was headed towards it, and I couldn't walk. It was like I was glued to the floor. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I can't go over there. In my spirit, I just knew I couldn't even go to the table to get information. I was going to go to Bible school. That was my plan. And as soon as I acknowledged it, I turned around and began to walk, and the Lord spoke to me. So the first thing I had was just a leading, just a knowing. And then the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "You're not going to Bible school. And don't leave your job yet. You'll know when." I heard that those sentences from God. I thought, oh, well, okay. Sounds exciting. I don't know. I don't know anything about anything. I don't know how things work. This is way back before Google was born. I mean, we had America Online. And so, for me, I calculated, okay, I'm not going to Bible school, but it doesn't mean I'm not called to ministry. I'm going to have to prepare myself as if I went to Bible school. So I began my own self-Bible school with ministers and a Dake annotated Bible, and about 4 to 6 hours every day while I worked. In the morning, a couple hours. In the evening, a couple hours or more. And at lunch, praying in tongues. So I spent a whole year preparing myself for ministry that I wasn't supposed to go to Bible school for. And in my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, we're probably I can't go to school because we don't have time. Like, Jesus is coming. Like, whatever I'm supposed to be doing, I got to be doing it now. And so anyway, at my job, I ended up on a new project that was supposed to last for a long time. And I came back to Houston. The project was here at ExxonMobil in Houston. And in my spirit, I started feeling this uneasiness, and I just began to pray in tongues and pray in tongues, and just something didn't feel right in my life, and uneasy, and just praying in tongues and praying in tongues every day. This went on for weeks and then months. For 3 months, all I could do is pray in tongues. I mean, you know, I could function with people, you know, I wasn't doing that in front of everybody. But in my spare time, it was like, oh, something's wrong. And I just pray in tongues and pray in tongues. And I would leave at lunchtime and pray in tongues and come home and pray in tongues and think about praying in tongues. I've got to get rid of this thing. You only get rid of those uneasy feelings, you're going to have to obey something. Pray in tongues till you know what to obey. That's the only way to get rid of that uneasy feeling, if you're close to the Holy Spirit. Many people aren't close enough. So when they get an uneasy feeling, they go eat. Yeah, you start feeling, some people get uncomfortable with that spiritual thing, and their flesh says, just feed me, just get over this. But if you're committed to the Holy Spirit, you can follow him this way, and with groanings that cannot be uttered in articulate speech. So this is how the Holy Spirit begins to work. And so I'm doing this for 3 months, prayed in tongues and just uneasy. And then all of a sudden, the light shone in my heart, and I knew, whoo, This is it. I have to leave my job now. I didn't do that out loud. That's what happened on the inside of me. Remember what God told me? He said, don't leave your job. You'll know when. I knew when. Without him speaking one more word. He didn't speak another sentence. He didn't say, yes, now is the time. He made me go off of what I knew in the Spirit. A lot of your life decisions need to be made by what you know. He wants you to follow what you know. Oh, it'd be so much easier, God, if you'd just appear. I'm going to sleep, God. Oh, it'd be nice if I could just be taken to heaven and you could tell me the rest of my life. Oh, just an angel, just to come through. Angel, anywhere? It'd be so much easier if I could have a burning bush or an angel to speak. All we're doing, we're begging for our natural senses to be able to detect God. And God is begging for your spirit man to detect the Holy Spirit. It's the most special thing to the Heavenly Father that we follow His Holy Spirit. And so that began the rest of my journey. As soon as I knew, it was either that day or the next day. I think that night I told my parents. The next day I told my manager. What am I doing? I'm instantly obeying the voice of my spirit. As soon as I knew, I'm obeying. Now you need the green light timing, sure. Some things you may have a sense of, but it's not time. You'll know when it's time. I knew when it was time. Just about 1 year later from when he spoke, I knew that it was time. And I instantly obeyed the voice of my spirit. This is how you stay out of trouble. This is how you find yourself smack dab in the will of God. This is how you remain in the will of God. When all the world seems a little contrary to what you'd prefer, this is how you remain in the will of God, by what you know. I just know what's right. I just know what's right. You know what's right. You know what God's saying. He's in there talking. Are you listening? Everybody wants to hear God speak. I think you can. But you're going to have to be highly committed to your spirit, man. You're going to have to be highly committed to what's happening inside your spirit with the Holy Spirit. You can't be running too fast. You can't not allocate some time with God. You can't not develop your spirit. You can't not be a Bible reader. I've seen some non-Bible readers who think they're hearing from God. They end up hearing from the devil. Or we could say they end up so loony and goofy, you can't trust anything they say. You're going to have to be anchored to the Word of God if you're going to be a hearer of God's voice. It's just as simple as that. But that's where all the good stuff is.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.